Iowa everywhere.
The world will never be the same once you see it through the eyes of Fairway Frank.
Frank, we'll sell London broils, New York strip steaks, pork chops, pork steaks.
Frank's mama always said, life is like a T-bone steak. When you shop at Fairway, you know exactly what you're gonna get.
Spring is here. It's time to start thinking about family fun in the outdoors. This is Chris Williams promoting my good friends at Plaza RV in Bondurant. I've now bought two travel trailers from this locally owned company in the past 5 years. It's completely changed my family's life. We love spending time in the outdoors, tailgating, and most of all, being together. Camping has been an awesome escape for us, and I would encourage you to think about it as well. Head over to their lot in Bondurant. They have motorhomes, travel trailers, truck trailers, fifth wheels, and more. Check them out today at PlazaRV.com. They're 100% locally owned. Tell them that Chris Williams sent you.
Chris Williams. Chris Hassel.
Two guys named Chris.
Presented by Fairway Meat and Grocery.
From the Channel Seed Studios, this is Iowa Everywhere.
Channel Seed. Seedsmanship at work.
What's up? Welcome to Two Guys here on Iowa Everywhere. My name is Chris Williams. I'm joined, as always, by Chris Hassel, and we are at 10 o'clock on your Sunday. For those of you who are watching on demand or listening on the podcast later, we wanted to, two things. One, Hassel is on his way to Phoenix today for the men's national championship game for CBS. And he's going to be all sorts of tied up on Monday. So we wanted to make sure and have a show for you. Two, the Iowa women's team is playing for a national championship in 4 hours. And we wanted to be able to make sure and preview that for everybody. So here's the situation. If you are listening to this on Monday and that game is already over, just fast forward about 15, 20 minutes. And then we're going to have a more evergreen type show for you guys. This first 15, 20 minutes we will spend on the Iowa women. So again, that will be dated on Monday, but the rest of the show will not. Another programming note, since Hassel's out on Monday, John Miller will be joining me at 8:30 on Monday, and we'll have full reaction to the women's national championship game. And then we'll also look ahead to Monday night with the men. How are you, Chris Hassel?
I didn't realize we'd have the backwards hat brigade.
Yeah, well, to be honest, it's Sunday morning, kids, wife's working, it's just me, and I'm like, I'm not putting product in the hair. Fuck that.
Eric says we look cool. Two guys,
thanks,
about
this
40
is my
years
last,
old and backwards hats.
This is my second to last show, Hassel, with hair. I shave next Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yep.
How many years in a row is this for you?
Like 13. 12, 13, something like, I have to look it up.
Damn.
It's really cool, though. Our audience, like this audience, a lot of the same people in Cyclone Fanatic. I mean, I'd have to do, we've raised over six figures over the course of this. Well over into six figures.
That's great.
So it's a neat tradition. The problem is, it's a lot harder to grow back. And now, like, it's taken me like 6 months, and it's finally like I have a decent head of hair on me.
Yeah.
And it's just all going to be gone.
Finally starting to look good, and you got to shave that sucker off.
Yeah.
Why don't you shave your whole body? Just do the whole thing.
Let's go. Bring it on. I don't need hair.
Get the Lady Gillette out.
What about, remember the old days when you could like wipe that stuff on you and it would just kill the hair? The Nair. Do you remember that? You didn't even have to shave.
What?
Yeah, it was like
are you talking about NADS?
NADS?
Yeah.
No.
You don't know about NADS?
No, what's that? I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's that. I think it's like you wipe it on yourself and then like the hair never grows back.
I'll be damned.
It probably has like radioactive chemicals in it.
It sounds really awful.
It was
you.
An infomercial. It was called NADS.
Wanna
Have you tried NADS?
Want to thank our friends at Fairway Meat and Grocery. I did make I took a picture. I should have sent it to Aiden. Aiden, I'm going to send you a picture of my baby backs. from last night. I made a badass rack of baby back ribs. Actually, I didn't take a picture. That's on me. But I really did do it, and it was phenomenal. So there you go. Fairway Meat and Grocery, the presenting sponsor of us here on Two Guys. We are in the Channel Seed Studios where Hassel's all decked out in his Iowa jersey. Is that Settles? Who you rocking there?
Well, it's an Iowa number 4 jersey.
Kenny Murray?
I got it. I found it at Goodwill, like probably it would have been around 2003. I'm going to guess it's Glenn Worley.
Oh.
But it's close to Settles. I like to think that it's Settles. I do.
Yeah, Settles is my favorite Iowa athlete of all time, without question.
So I'm decked out today because Iowa has a chance to win a national championship. Second year in a row. I feel like this game, it feels so much bigger than last year's game to me for some reason. I'm sure it has a lot to do with...
What's the finality? Because it's Clark.
This is it
last
for Clark.
Run. Yeah.
And
that's
others.
Why.
And it wasn't until after the Final Four last year that this whole thing kind of exploded. Women's basketball. It came out that it was the most watched women's game of all time. And Angel Reese did the thing. And then it was a whole, you know, week-long media gauntlet where, you know, people were throwing bombs, and then you get to this season where I don't think many people expected Iowa to be here. Yeah, they had Caitlin Clark, but they didn't get anybody in the portal. They lost Monica Sinano. And
Cezano,
as is it Miller that says that?
No, it was me. I've messed that
up. You said Cezano?
Yeah, I don't know why. I always screw her name up. The Z just... Yeah. Anyways, I'm with you, like, because it feels, listen, I'm, Lisa Bluter's had a good program before Caitlin Clark, right? Like, this isn't like this out of nowhere Iowa's got a good women's basketball program. But there's finality here anyway, brother. Even if Iowa wins, there's going to be an element of like, well, she's gone, and you look to the future and like, what does it hold? And we'll find out. And hopefully it's very exciting as the women's game continues to grow, not only nationally, but it's blown up in our state. Again, we talked about it a million times. Iowa State has always really been a women's basketball school. And then Iowa, it's like blown up now. And it's so Drake is winning championships every year, but Caitlin's just this totally different animal. And this is it for her. And that's, to me, why it feels bigger. And I even felt that way when they got down to UConn. It's like, man, she's 0 for 6 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really hope this isn't how it ends, even if they lose. And, yeah, it's just the finality of this generational player who has brought so many eyeballs to our state. And she has completely put her sport on the map in a way that, and, you know, there's Maya Moore and Diana Taurasi and all these great women's players that have come before her for some reason. And we've debated it forever and we can't more. Caitlin has caught the eyes of so many more people, and it's it after today. And then she's off to the WNBA. So there's that finality of everything.
And I hope today we can just focus on today and not anything in the future. Right. I hope as Iowa fans, we can just appreciate today for what it is. This is it. This is the last game. This is a chance to win a national championship against an undefeated behemoth in the women's game. And what an incredible cap to this amazing story this would be. Everything else down the road, it's going to be fun following her in the WNBA and seeing all that. But today is for a title, and I feel like if Iowa plays like they did in Albany, they've got a real shot.
Aiden Wyatt is producing today. I'm going to make you do some real production here, kid. Has there ever been a men's or women's national championship in the sport of basketball in our state?
What? No.
Yeah, so like that.
I mean, not in the NCAA. I mean, yeah. If you're looking at like the D3 or
no,
something.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking like D1. It could be one of those deals like, oh, well, Drake did 1932 or, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So like there's that type of history riding on today. 6.5 is the spread at DRF Sportsbook.
It's still holding at 6.5?
Yeah, but it's leaning South Carolina. There's a little bit of juice.
I thought that was interesting because going into the games, I talked about this with Van Winks yesterday on the special pod that we did. Going into the games, plural, Final Four games, the look-ahead line was Iowa +3.5 if they faced South Carolina. So that's a lot of movement based on what happened on Friday, how good South Carolina looked, and how, I guess, vulnerable Iowa looked, especially in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar, Chris, to last year. South Carolina is still not you looked at them in the first half where NC State was really competing with them and just packing in and make them shoot, right? And I'm assuming that's what Iowa will do today. This is a similar conversation to the last two games, though, right? It's like, can Iowa's bigs hold up against this South Carolina team, and how great is Clark going to be? Now, it's not all about Caitlin. We learned that against Utah, UConn. We've always known that everybody else has to step up. But listen, this the other aspect of this, and I just don't know. I don't know enough about it. But you know, Dawn Staley in South Carolina is prayed for this game. You know, they've had this game circled for a year.
Iowa is the only team that has beaten them in the last two seasons. Ended their season last year. Ended their perfect season. Ended the careers of so many great players like Aliyah Boston.
Yeah.
And they weren't expected to be this. They weren't even top five in the preseason poll.
No.
Look, this isn't some Cinderella story.
No.
But in the preseason poll, Iowa was ranked higher.
Yeah. I think the line's about right, to be honest with you.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Iowa just because. 6.5. Caitlin Clark. But
wait, it might get to 7 before tip.
Okay, so if you want to take Iowa, you're suggesting to
I'm just looking
wait.
At the money right now, and it looks like the heavy money is on South Carolina. But so if I'm just saying, based on where the juice has landed right now, it looks like it could get to 7. It may not. We'll see.
You know what really pisses me off about? I have this offshore book where I get my lines.
Oh, God. Those are the worst. They can just
for women's games
rip you off.
They, going into the game, both sides are at least -115 juice.
Yeah.
Oftentimes -120. Just because it's a women's game. All the men's games are -110.
They're trying to protect themselves because of the amount of money coming in and stuff like that. That should start to change. I'm surprised that is still the case. I mean, how many people are going to watch today's game? Will they hit 20?
I think so.
Yeah.
If it's a good game, I think this is going over 20 million.
I thought you made a good point yesterday on, man, it really, Iowa being down at the half probably really helped that number too.
No
it
question.
Surged it. There's all these people texting, oh my God, Clark's 0-6.
Mm-hmm. This could be it. She
we
got to
see
done.
This Cinderella story that is Caitlin Clark. See if she can come back. And it was great theater. Like it was fantastic. I did watch the game back. And the one note I would make, and I texted you, and I'll eat some crow here. I didn't make it public, but I was like, man, Gabby Marshall's really off today. She's not playing well. Man, when I watched the game closer, she was absolute madwoman on defense against Paige Becker.
Doesn't show up in the stat book.
Yeah, I didn't really appreciate that when I watched it live, but Gabby Marshall, maybe she probably not player of the game because there were some offensive performances that overshadowed it. But man, she was really good in that one. Shout out to her because and it's weird. Like she was chasing Beckers all over the court, and I think it started to impact her offense a little bit. We'll see how that translates over to today. But, you know, I think the one thing, so South Carolina's got this edge when it comes to They really want Iowa. They've had this game circled. Dawn Staley even said it when she was being interviewed by Aaliyah Boston on Friday night. We want to win this for you. Mm-hmm. And those women on that team last year that fell short of your goal, we want this for you. Well, Iowa's got experience, right? They've played in these championship games. I think it does matter now that we've talked about how the circus that follows Iowa women's basketball around has probably wore on them at the end of the year. I think it's natural. Man, they are ready for the moment. That's where I give Iowa an edge today.
You think Iowa is going to be more ready for this moment than South Carolina?
Yes, because they've played so many games like this.
Interesting. I can get behind that.
South Carolina, I think, is the better team. Clearly, look at the numbers. They're 36-0.
They have Cardoso, who's 6'7".
Whew. Yeah.
I mean, usually you're dealing with a post that's 6'3", 6'4". She's 6'7" and skilled. She was coming off the bench last year. That's how talented that team was.
I'm just saying, like, from a mental standpoint, Iowa should be very ready for this moment based on everything that has
tested them. That's a good point. They've been through the ringer time and time again. They've been backs against the wall time and time again, whether it was the last game they played or the Big Ten championship game, and they've proven that even when they look down and out, they can come back and win a huge game against a good team. Now, this is a great team. I can't imagine them falling down by double digits in this game and coming back and winning it. That's going to be one of the keys. Like, they can't dig this hole.
Yeah.
You can't. If you have a first half like you did on Friday, it's likely over. You don't want to be playing catch up against South Carolina.
Speaking of the popularity of the women's game, last thing I have on this, and then we'll make some picks, is Aiden Wyatt showing some pictures from, I believe it was from yesterday's shoot around. Did you see the crowd in Cleveland for the
11,000? 11,000 scanned tickets for the practice.
Just to watch the dog and pony show, just layup drills, and there's Gabby Marshall shooting a free throw. Yeah! Go Hawks! Like, it was wild. I've only seen one thing like it, and it completely changed the way I look at it with, like, Kentucky basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State was in the same. They were in Louisville.
I was there.
The year that they lost to
UAB.
I know
what you're talking about.
Yeah. And the Kentucky fans.
No. I'm not talking about that year. I'm talking about.
You're talking about the Royce White year.
Yes.
Yeah, same thing. I was at both of them, too.
There were Kentucky and Louisville fans there.
Oh, my God. And they just, like...
And that's what it was like for the practice. There were 10,000 people there.
They're, like chanting. They like their school chants that they're doing.
It's a different level.
Yeah.
And Iowa has reached that on the women's side.
Isn't that wild? It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
The only one I knew of that called that was going to be a record was Matt Van Hwinks on
Twitter.
He did.
He nailed it.
A viewership record. But he never said it on the show. Every time we brought it up on the show, he kind of slinked into the corner. Even yesterday, I gave him a chance. I was like, because we hadn't seen the numbers yet. And he was like, it's going to be close. But he slinked in the moment.
He came over to my house last night. We were watching WrestleMania. And Van Winkle's sitting over there, and he's drinking some Steeple Ridge. Well, you know, I called it, right? Told you guys it would be a bigger number. Because he's, like, trying to brag, but he's trying to be humble about it, one of those deals.
Well, that's what he was doing in the group chat yesterday.
Yeah. I told you guys.
And so I pulled the audio from yesterday's show.
I actually really think it'll be close to that LSU game.
I think it will be, too. I predicted, I think all of us were kind of on the same wavelength, predicting that it wouldn't break the record that Iowa just set in the Elite Eight against LSU of 12.3 million average.
Anyway, he said, I think it'll be close. That's all he said. There wasn't some big punchline I was waiting for. Sorry. I know you thought you were waiting. Like, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? Ah, no, but they won't break it. No, he slinked in the moment.
All right. So
Today, though, I think it's going to go over 20 million if this is a close game. It's on ABC, and it should blow away the record that was just set a couple of days ago.
I think it is a close game. I think that Iowa the key to this game will be South Carolina shooting. Right? Like, Iowa's going to pack it in, and
make their threes, it's going to be really like LSU did last year in the championship game.
Yeah.
They made a bunch of threes.
Because I don't. Like, as good as South Carolina is, I still think Iowa gets its points on the other end. Like, I just don't see any way that the Iowa team that, you know, I don't think they have another first quarter like they did against UConn from a shooting standpoint. So, listen, I will pick South Carolina to win the game. I think they're the more complete team. I think that they have that chip on their shoulder, all that stuff. But I would definitely be with you and take points in this one. And I really hope with that 5 and under to end the game, it's a really close one, and we all get our money's worth here. What's your pick?
I'm going to take the points for the hell of it. I don't know if it's the smart bet, but I'm going to take the 6.5 or 7. But Cardozo's 6'7". They have the huge chip on their shoulder from last season. Dawn Staley is an incredible coach. They've won national championships before. I know Iowa keeps proving everybody wrong, but I'm going to take South Carolina to win the game. I'm wondering, how are Iowa State fans watching this game today? Aiden, get on in here. You're Mr.
They're all rooting for Iowa South State Carolina.
Fan. Aiden, what are your thoughts going into this game as an Iowa State grad, diehard Cyclone fan?
Don't tell my parents this, but I'm a Caitlin Clark guy. So,
whoa,
that's fair.
Honestly, like, a lot of Iowa State fans aren't gonna like this, but I really don't care. If Iowa wins a national championship, because I think it'd be pretty cool. But just because, like, you know, I have a lot of friends that are Hawkeye fans, so, like, I think it'd be really cool for them to experience something like that. But I'm gonna refer to
The problem is, Hassel, you just asked Aiden, who's one of the most rational humans on planet Earth. Like, let's get, like, Ted Flint in here and see what he says.
Well, I saw a tweet this morning from a well-known Cyclone fan, Mr. Guckenheimer, Alex Guckin. And he tweeted, "Happy Caitlin Clark's Hawkeye career is over day. I thought I'd be much more excited for this day, but instead I have to hate watch the national championship game again and hope that they lose. Please pray for the haters and losers. We've already hated and lost more than we imagined." I think it was a genius move by Cyclone Larry to bow out and go into hiding and hibernation before this Final Four run, because what would happen? He would spontaneously combust if he was still out there in the public and Iowa wins this national
championship. I didn't even realize Larry's back in hibernation.
Oh, yeah. He slinked away.
Oh, man.
Went into his hole.
During portal season? This is like, it's one of the best times of year for an Iowa
State telling
fan.
I think it was a preemptive strike against a potential Caitlin Clark national championship. I think that's why he did it.
Oh, man.
I am not cheering for Iowa. I just do not care.
I would guess 75 to 80% of Iowa State fans will actively root for South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have 10% like Aiden that just don't care, and then they're going to have 10% that would be like the older range, like my parents. Well, my parents are bad examples. My mom will be, you know, rocking her Cox all day. Today it's Hawks versus Cox.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, your mom. So your mom's going to be rooting hard for the Cox and against Clark.
Yeah, all in on the Cox today in our family because it's who we are. You know, we're Cox. It's what we do. But I think there'll be a lot of people who have lived in this state for a really long time that aren't like just Twitter pissy about the rivalry all the time. Who they'll probably I could see 10% being like, yeah, it'd be really nice if the state of Iowa won a national championship, right?
What did you say? 10% of Iowa State fans?
Yeah, 10, 15%.
I think so. I think the majority will be rooting hard against her, not wanting Iowa to have this.
It's probably how it should be, right?
Sure. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a rivalry.
God damn it. Yeah, my mom is throwing a big cock party. It starts here in a couple hours.
What does a cock party involve? I've heard of cocktail parties.
A lot of dip.
Really?
She makes an assortment of dip.
I'd go on incognito if you're going to search cock party, though.
Google it. What are you asking me for? No, she's... I think she's probably a little... Because, again, like, my background, we used to... I remember watching, like, my parents made C. Vivian Stringer. She was like a god in our house growing up. Like, we watched women's basketball before. It was really hard to watch. Like, you couldn't even find it on TV. But so I'll be a little mixed emotions, but they're all in on the Cocks. Like,
wait, so are you going to watch the game with your mom?
No, it's like three hours away. We'll probably FaceTime a couple times and stuff.
But you're not going to be rooting for the Cocks, are you?
I'm pretty indifferent, honestly. I mean, I have so many people in that Iowa women's program who I really like. I mean, I've known Caitlin a long time. Their SID is a really good buddy. I really appreciate Coach Bluter. So I would like to see those people. The problem is it's the assholes on Twitter that I don't want to enjoy it. I don't want to give them that satisfaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the people in the program who I've come to really, really appreciate. I do have the background where we've watched South Carolina for my whole life, so it's like I am a fan of them. So I'm pretty indifferent today, but, I mean, it's good for our show. It's good for our state. Like, I'd be totally fine if Iowa won the title.
Good question here from Christopher, another one. He would like to know if famed two guys commenter Circle Herc would be invited to your mom's Cox party.
No.
No, absolutely Circle Herc at your mom's Cox party? Okay.
He's too... Circle Herc's a little too amped up. Like, I don't think he'd fit well there. But then you have, like, the aspect of, like... And this is where, like, my sister and her daughters are... They hardly watch men's college basketball, okay? Like, and this is not just a Caitlin Clark thing. This has been the case for a long time. They're diehard Iowa State fans. Diehard. Like, go to the Big 12... Like, they're nutty... Bill Finley, like, greatest coach on the planet. Like but they've been captivated by Caitlin. I've told this story before. Like, they literally sat in Hilton Coliseum, rooted for the Cyclones, but cheered when Caitlin Clark made a basket. So, like, I'm telling you, like, it's a weird dynamic of what's happening here. And then you have my daughter, Cameron, who Emily Ryan's her favorite player of all time. She says she's rooting for Iowa because she really likes Caitlin and she thinks it's neat that a girl from Iowa, her words, a girl from Iowa is the best player in the world. She goes, but I would never root for the Iowa boys ever. Direct quote from Cameron. She doesn't like Freya McCaffrey.
She kind of sounds like a lot of Iowa men's basketball fans. Fired up for the women, not necessarily for the men.
I'm not making this up. She compared Fran McCaffrey to Donald Trump.
What?
She said, every time I see him, he's yelling.
I don't know. I really, the last couple of years, the camera's over there and he's just standing there with his hands in his pockets.
Yeah, but that's not what makes the highlights. She's not watching like the games like we do.
Goodness. So,
anyways, there we go. We're both picking South Carolina, but I've been wrong on this Iowa women's team all year.
Williams, you're overmodulated again. I don't know if you're too close to your mic.
Just amped up.
I know, but my God, you.
We start talking about my mom and the Cocks, and I get all fired up.
You start yelling into the microphone like this, and it just overmodulates.
Couple other stories before we get going, and this is for the more evergreen audience, not the. Not the immediate one today. I really wanted to do this last week. You pulled this story from The Athletic that I had missed about this group of like administrators, and there's a guy from the NFL who's a very influential member of the NFL's like front, like the business side of things. and they're looking into changing college football in the future, like what will it look like in the next era. Let me read you a portion of this story of what these cats are working on. It says one league overseeing college football's highest level. So it looks like the NFL. No more conferences as we've known them. Playoff berths being decided solely on the field. Promotion and relegation for smaller schools.
Yeah, that's players, the key there. Promotion and relegation for smaller schools.
Alabama's never going to be relegated.
Right. And I'll let you finish here, but that's kind of the thing that stuck out to me.
And then it says players being paid directly by like these leagues and these teams, NIL and the transfer portal that are actually managed. So real quick, the big concept here is you have like 70 schools. So they're going to keep all the Power Five as we know it. And then they would add like the key brands. I think they like SMU was in there, obviously Notre Dame, like whoever brings value.
Right. SMU is going to be in the ACC this year, by the way.
Correct. And then there's a lot, but the basis of this that I found so fascinating is that the premise here, and again, these are like college athletic directors and presidents working on this. Mm-hmm. They think that these conferences are all going to go bankrupt because they're going to get sued by all the players, and all the money that they will owe them for not paying them over the years will just bankrupt these conferences. Because that was my first, when I read the first like three paragraphs of this, I go, why would the Big Ten and the SEC do this? Why would they eliminate their spot at the top? The prediction here is that everybody goes bankrupt and they have to start from scratch.
Which I think is possible. I mean, anything is possible at this point with the next 5 years in college athletics, because I don't think what we're doing is sustainable. So something has to happen. And I mean, we've already heard it from Jamie Pollard. I mean, they're setting aside a ton of their money for when this big thing happens, whether or not they're paying the players or they get sued. I think, I mean, that's all you can discuss that. What I didn't like about this proposal is that only, so what did they say it would be, like 70 teams or 80 teams?
70 is the number I saw, yeah.
Okay, so they would split everybody up into like groups of 10, and the winners of those groups, those, I guess you could call them conferences, divisions, would go to the playoff. But every team that is right now a Power Five team or a major brand, they would be safe from relegation. The only relegating and promotion would be within the extremely small schools, the 50 or 60 non-power schools, let's just say Conference USA, Mountain West. So they would compete and would only get to go up and down amongst themselves. Like if Rutgers is in one of these power divisions, Rutgers could never be relegated. Rutgers could never fall down to that level. But a Colorado State out of the Mountain West, they could jump up into this big division, but they would be in danger of being relegated and going down every year. I like the idea of relegation, but I don't like it that no power team could possibly be relegated no matter how bad they are.
Yeah, because it's not true relegation, right?
No, it's not. Because you look at the European soccer model, which is where this comes from, everybody is in danger of being relegated.
And I would make the point in that, like, this, I understand the sexiness of relegation and why fans are like, oh my God, it'd be so cool. I get it. I agree with you. But like the European club soccer model, Rupert Murdoch could just be like, hey, I'm going to go and buy this team and we're going to put all this money into it and it's going to change everything. And then they would win, theoretically, right? We're seeing that in one of my favorite sports, Formula One, right now. This multi-billionaire bought this Aston Martin team and is now hiring away all the best engineers and drivers, and that team will be really good in 5 years because they're putting money into it.
Mm-hmm.
In this model, like, what I hate about this is that Bama and Ohio State, like, they already have all the advantages. Why do you need to put this in? You're never going to get relegated because Boise State, as good of a run as they had in the 2000s, is never going to be Georgia, ever. The geography, the money, the alumni base, none of it will ever add up. Like, these aren't, unless these football teams become privately owned businesses, which maybe that's going to be like, because I don't think, like, in this model, it would be like the Iowa Football Club.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the University of Iowa football team anymore, from how I understand. So the only way, like, I would be on board with the relegation is like, okay, we're going to have privately owned rich people owning these things, and we're going to treat it like a pro sport. Because the thing I find really hard about the relegation aspect of it is, if you're an athletic director at Fresno State and you've got a budget for an entire athletic department and you don't know year to year, you don't even have a ballpark of what's – that's going to affect softball. That's going to affect volleyball, right? Like, can we have – like, oh, okay, the football team lost. We're going to have to – fire half of our softball coaching staff, like, right? Like, it's not cut and dry like over in Europe with these soccer clubs.
Well, that's why the football programs have to be separate.
Yeah, they have to be.
And like, this should have already happened. This should have already happened, and we could have totally avoided this ridiculous realignment based not on geography and tradition and fan experience, but based solely on money. We could have avoided all that because it's all about football. All the other schools could have, all the other programs could have stayed in those respective conferences, like UCLA, for instance.
Yeah.
Play in a big football conference, keep everything else Pac-12. Pac-12 stays together. They might lose football, but the Pac-12 as a whole for every other sport is able to stay intact. That's gone. We lost that.
If this happens, I think it'll go right back to it.
Go right back to, like, the Pac-12 will all of a sudden be back?
From the way I read this, and I could have misinterpreted it, but it would be, like, regional.
It would be somewhat regional, but it wouldn't. I don't think they're going to put conferences back together.
No, it would be these, like, divisions. It would be like,
yeah, I mean, Iowa
NFC
State would,
East.
The thing I saw, Iowa State was in the same deal as Nebraska and Utah and Colorado. So it wasn't like putting the Big Eight back together.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if that's what I would push for. It's just, to me, like, make these things as regional as possible. But then you have the problem if, like, let's be honest here. The best football in the country is played in the southeastern portion of the country.
Right. So, and I was looking at those conferences, the way they broke everything up. And, yeah, there are going to be some really weak divisions where, you know, if I was in a division like the Big Ten West.
Exactly.
And you win that, that gets you into the playoff. But Auburn has to win a division against Alabama and Georgia and LSU. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you nailed it. We should have been doing this stuff 10, 15 years ago, but the NCAA has just fought it tooth and nail, and they fought it, and now they're screwed. And I make a quick opinion on this. I don't think these conferences end up going bankrupt like the prediction is here. And the only reason I say that is I don't think there's any way that they let all this get to actual court, because I think they know they will lose.
Yeah.
Unless the settlement that they have to pay out of, like, is this enormous sum, which I get, maybe it could be, but I don't know if they would settle for that. Like, that seemed pretty aggressive to me, that it would just blow the whole thing up and they'd all be bankrupt and the SEC would cease to exist. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of smart lawyers and stuff that have probably already thought through all this. I don't know. The whole thing is fascinating, though, based on who's involved. Again, there's this guy who's basically the right-hand man of the commissioner of the National Football League who, you know, he's the mastermind of all their TV deals with the National Football League. So if the NFL gets involved here, like...
Well, then we could also potentially be looking at feeder teams, which
I don't want.
Like, I would hate that. That would make it into minor league football, which would ruin it all.
I don't want that.
Because then these teams in the NFL would be looking out for their own interests in a player, and it would ruin the entire thing if that's what happens. You cannot attach, let's say, the Iowa Hawkeye football team to the Minnesota Vikings football team, because then all of a sudden you become the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Iowa.
Well, yeah, if I'm a Packers fan, I don't want to watch that.
Iowa, right? Wolves.
Like, real quick, to the people in the comments telling us to talk women's basketball, we did that for about 30 minutes. If you want to rewind wherever you're at in the stream, this is for the second portion of the show that will live for the audience on Monday. Also, John Miller and I will be live at 8:30 across all platforms on Monday morning, where we will have complete reaction to the Iowa Women's National Championship game. Want to give a shout-out to a couple of our great sponsors. Of course, our friends over at Channel Seed. Spread your seed! It's almost planting season, baby. Love me some Channel Seedsmen. I got a text from Jeff Kelderman on Friday night.
Has he douched up your truck yet?
Not yet. That will be happening soon. Kelderman, this is the second time now we've gotten this. He goes, Hassel looks just like Fairway Frank.
Oh, yeah. We've seen that a lot in the comments.
Yeah. And Kelderman was like, it just like blew his mind. He figured it out on Friday. He's like, holy shit. This is unbelievable. They just took a picture of Hassel and drew it up.
You just called me asshole.
Did I?
Sick son of a BS.
I didn't mean to.
Oh, well, you did. Freudian slip.
The other story here that we wanted to get to is this new NIT.
Can I say one real quick before we get into that?
Yeah, whatever you want.
I got idiots like my dad in the comments, like, why aren't you talking about the foul? Like, did you, Dad,
I did
a special podcast yesterday with Matty Van Winks, where that's like all we talked about was a goddamn foul, okay? So if you want more talk on the Iowa women and you weren't satisfied with what we just did in the first 30 minutes, go back and listen to...
The foul got its own show.
Yeah.
A special edition show on a Saturday morning, the foul. That's all they talked about. That was a good show, too, by the way. Good job out of you to go live and do that.
That was fun, yeah.
It was very insightful, and I was walking Dirks, and I listened to that yesterday afternoon. This new NIT that Fox is going to make, it's all in Las Vegas. I'm telling you, this is going to be a disaster. It starts on March 31st. It will feature two teams from the Big Ten, Big 12, Big East that all receive automatic bids. It's noteworthy that those leagues all have TV contracts with Fox. The rest of the field will receive at-large participants. Only men's teams. They won't have a women's one. This is like playing the Belk Bowl after January 1st. These teams aren't even going to have any players.
It makes no sense. I mean, it's just it's a network that's just trying to grab
this
money.
This is insane.
Fill television inventory.
Iowa State was in the Sweet 16 this year and lost four guys in the portal. Right? Like,
you said this thing would start on what? March 31st?
March 31st.
I didn't even know March had 31 days.
Think about the delay in the season. So these are all teams not making the NCAA tournament, okay? With the transfer portal, with coaching changes, they're going to have to wait like 20 days to go play in this Fox NIT in Vegas.
I could see it right now. A year from right now, we're doing a special Two Guys Named Chris episode. It's Iowa DePaul in Vegas for the Fox NIT championship. and Iowa only has four players because everyone else is in the portal. Like, what would they do right now?
I'm just saying, is
Samford playing in this thing with the draft coming up? Is Perkins waiting around before going in the portal?
This just reminds me of bad bowl games that these guys don't even play in now. Unless there's a change to the portal date, that's the key.
Which there needs to be.
If they say
insane that the portal starts when it does.
If they come out and say the portal will now open on April 15th after the Final Four, then this could work.
You think, but this would be
it would still
a lesser
be
product than the NIT, right?
Unless you're an SEC or an ACC fan. I mean, I don't know. The NIT final was amazing, by the way.
Did you watch it? But they caught lightning in a bottle with that because it was at Hinkle Fieldhouse and Indiana State was playing in it.
Correct. I mean, I don't care about any of these. If I'm being honest with you, like this is completely irrelevant to me. I'll say it again, starting on March 31st in the portal era, like most of these teams don't even have coaches, right? Like, it's insane. Like, did I tell you about what I heard? I know I told Bloom that NC State was playing, you know, in the Final Four this weekend. They left on Wednesday and they had portal transfers in town in Raleigh on Monday and Tuesday. So they play in the Elite Eight, fly back. They have to host visitors while they're preparing for the Final Four after this incredible run. But they're having to focus their time on recruiting. But you have to do it.
Just
you
like
have to do it.
TJ getting ready for the Sweet 16 and at the same time finalizing a deal with a couple of transfers for next year, next season. Here's a good idea from Matt. Have a tournament with only guys who are in the portal. Treat it like the Portsmouth Invitational.
Telling you.
He says, call it Portalsmouth.
This is another opportunity for me to pitch the Last Chance Dance. I need to put this on paper. I'm an idiot, okay? I don't think I'm smart. I think this is the only smart thing I've ever come up with in my life. This gives you an opportunity if you're the NCAA and you have this exclusive deal with Turner and CBS. Hey, Fox, you're going to do this? I got a better idea for you. We're going to take the 12 or 16... We want to extend the NCAA tournament because we want more money. Now we're going to go to Amazon or Fox or whoever, and we're going to pitch the Last Chance Dance where you have exclusive rights to cover this, where all these high major at large teams, which we're talking about right here, these are at large bubble type teams. And we're going to do the Last Chance Dance where they all compete to get into the NCAA tournament. And we're not putting Norfolk State and South Alabama in this.
No. They've already earned their spot
by
winning their conference tournament.
And now you can do like the NFL does and go to Amazon and say, hey, we're going to give you this one playoff game and you're going to pay us $300 million for it. So now you're making your money and it's better programming for Fox and it helps these teams because they want more of these high major teams relevant, right? Boom. Mm-hmm. I just solved it all.
I was thinking last night as I was sitting through another horrible March Madness commercial break that I don't think I could take an expanded tournament because the commercial redundancy would drive me to the ledge. It already has. It would drive me over the ledge. You know, the commercial where Chet Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are singing. I've seen it 150 times in the last 2 or 3 weeks. The NCAA tournament is my favorite event of the entire sporting calendar. So I watch it, okay? And I'm going to watch it no matter what. But this is driving me insane. And it happens every year. That commercial. Then there's the one that's like the guy looking at his phone ready to delete his pictures and the auto-tune singing.
I can't the one year
take it.
Where it was Hootie singing about the chicken sandwich at Burger King.
Yeah.
That was the only thing we got for like, oh,
Well, then there was the Whopper, 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 Chicken Whopper, Duper Dopper.
We need to get one. It's just you going, Lil Wayne, Lil Wayne. Iowa Event Center coming up on Thursday. Boom. You like that?
Nice.
The boys are trying to get me to go to Lil Wayne. Do you think I'd do okay at that age?
For the people.
What boys?
Leibs and Aiden want me to come and...
Aiden, you sound like you're broadcasting from a cave.
That's not ideal.
Well, that's not ideal.
You
gotta come to Lil Wayne, Chris. Come to Lil Wayne.
Jesus.
Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne. All right, so you're heading to... Why didn't you go for Saturday? I was really confused. Why are you just going for Monday? You're just doing shows there Monday, that's it?
Yes, I'm just doing a show on Monday. HQ Spotlight, CBS Sports Network, I think 2 o'clock your time, ahead of the Men's National Championship. But I screwed this up big time. When I booked the flights, I don't know, a month and a half ago. I am flying out. My plane is supposed to leave the ground at 4 Central Time.
We will be boarding
that plane
first class.
The second half gets underway in the Iowa Women's National Championship.
Are you first class?
No, I don't think I'm going to be first class.
So you can't watch it?
Well, I'm going to be...
What kind of plane is it, is the key?
It's a fine plane. It's a good plane. I'll be fine. I'll have it up on my phone. I'm in Delta Comfort. I am on first class from Atlanta to Phoenix.
I finally understand your Delta situation after my trip to Boston.
Yeah?
I don't fly Delta a lot because they don't serve the areas that I'm flying to very often. And I finally, because there's the shitty Delta plane, and then there's like the elite Delta plane.
Yes.
So I'll have the elite Delta plane. And they owe me $17.99 because the internet on that shitty plane does not work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that happened to me when I was flying back from Omaha. I bought because if you're on a good plane, you get internet for free.
And it's good internet.
And it's streaming capability.
Yeah.
If you're on a bad plane, then the internet only turns on once you hit 10,000 feet. Turns off when you go below it. You buy it, it's like, you know, whether it's $10 or $20, depending on the length. It's on that 717 plane, which is terrible. The Wi-Fi, not only does it not work for streaming, but it goes in and out constantly. It's hard to even log into it the first time. And the last time I did it, it made me buy it twice. Mm. So, look, I'm not a nickel and dimer. I'm not a cheap guy. Just the principle of it all, I had to complain. I went in there and I complained. And you know what these bastards did to me? This wasn't Delta. This is the internet provider on those shitty flights. Go or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
They write me back because I said, I had to buy the internet twice and it didn't work either time. I want my money back. So what do? They give me 2 promotional codes for free internet. It only works for the next 6 months. So if I don't get on one of those shitty planes,
and
I won't even have
won't
an opportunity and it won't work then either.
Yeah.
God, I'm sorry.
Well, best of luck. Again,
thank you.
Miller is going to pinch hit for you.
So I'm flying. I land tonight around midnight Eastern in Phoenix. I will Uber to the hotel, probably taxi from an airport. Go to bed, wake up. I've got the show at 2 Central tomorrow. I will immediately Uber to the airport and fly home. I'll be back home by midnight Eastern tomorrow.
That's a lot with all those time zones.
It is. It is. I'm not looking forward to it.
So will you work on Tuesday?
Off Tuesday.
Work. Yeah.
That's my travel day. That's
is
my
Amanda
like,
co-hosting
recuperating
with you?
Day. Yes. She's already out there.
Oh, okay.
She's one of those people that, despite the fact that you don't have a good media seat, like they'll put media like us, like way, way up.
Yeah.
In a football stadium, she will go to the game even though you can't even see the floor. You cannot, like, there's no, like, it's behind the hoop and everything is completely level because it's on a football field. So you might be 300 feet away from the court, and you're really only about 3 feet above the court. So you can't see the court. Everybody's head's in the way.
Yeah.
And I, like last year, I went to the Final Four. I didn't go to any of the games because you can't see. I want to watch the game. I'm a sports fan. You get me.
I dig. That's why, like, even like when the Big 12 shafts us and puts us all the way up at the top, like, I don't even watch the game. I watch on my computer. That's how I do it.
Well, how about at the Final Four game a couple of days ago, Keith is there, Keith Murphy. Yeah. He had to watch the game from underneath the arena. They didn't even have a media spot for him in the arena. He had to watch off his laptop in the bowels.
We should really do an off-season podcast. Nobody cares, though. That's the problem. Nobody cares. Never
mind. What, just an off-season podcast just bitching about the media stuff we have to deal with?
It drives me crazy how seemingly, like, these athletic departments, like, they... Not athletic departments, but conferences or whatever, and I get it. They favor the national media so much. Like, the national media will get all sorts of, like, access and stuff that the local people never get. And I get it because it's, like, special. Like, with Iowa State, when Josh Pate's coming to do a show, that's really cool, right? And you want to take care of him. And, like, I get it. But, like, when you just constantly, like this deal where Keith is the most recognized and followed human in all of Iowa, it doesn't matter if it's sports or whatever, to stick him down there, like, a lot of these national types get their information from the local media. That's how they stay educated on all this stuff, right? Like, I don't know what the answer is, but that was a travesty. It made me so mad on Friday night when I saw that. And Keith didn't do anything, and he wouldn't complain publicly because he's just not that kind of guy, but we'll do it for him.
Yes, we will. Well, I hope he's got a seat today.
Yeah, he better.
He was like standing in the tunnel.
Again, at that point, just go back to the media room and watch it on your computer. Like, that's the best way to do it. I've done that. I watched Iowa State's Sweet 16 game against Virginia in the United Center. That's how I watched it. I was in the same boat.
Worst experience that I've ever had covering a quote-unquote big event was when Keith forced me to cover the NCAA Wrestling Championships in St. Louis. And you know me, I don't like wrestling. You cannot go out into the arena and watch or shoot or anything. You have to stay underneath in the bowels of the arena and record everything onto your little device. And back then it was like tiny, tiny screen. Like, you could hardly see anything. And you sit under there for 8 hours a day. Meantime, the NCAA tournament's popping off. And you can't watch it. You can't see it. Again, like you said, nobody cares. I'm sorry. It has scarred me to
this
day.
We're just venting. That's it.
I made a horrible mistake the other day at work. I work with someone who has a brother who is a wrestler at Michigan.
Okay.
Her name is Jacqueline. She's an anchor at CBS Sports HQ. And you would have thought I, like, called her just a horrible word that you don't call a woman. When I said something about wrestlers wearing leotards.
Oh.
Apparently they're not leotards. They're singlets.
Yeah, they're singlets.
I thought they were leotards. I thought it was the same thing.
I mean, no.
What?
It's a disrespectful.
What, would that offend you too?
It doesn't offend me, but there's a, you know, there's a proper way to say it for the wrestling community. I lose track of all the, like, the European influence on sports is really starting to screw with people, I think.
In what way?
Well, they call, like, their uniforms kits.
Oh, God.
You know, and now people in America will be like, oh, well, they're kits. And I'm like, well, no, it's their jersey. No,
Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean? It's very confusing.
Also,
it's
they'll say, they'll call each team, they'll call a team a side.
Yeah.
So I've seen it with American broadcasters when talking about a basketball team sometimes. They will say, you know, that Bulls side is playing pretty well of late. When talking about the Chicago Bulls, that side isn't faring too well. Like, get out of here with that jargon.
Get
out of
here.
Keep it overseas. Oh, they'll also call a game. I have heard this. Game today, Iowa women against the South Carolina women for the national championship.
Yeah. Yep.
Those sons of bitches will call it a fixture.
What?
Yes. They will call it a fixture. Yeah.
Don't like that. Well, we'll see you on Tuesday. Or Thursday. I'm sorry. Thursday.
Yes. Okay.
Feel like if Iowa wins the Natty, or like, you should do a little 2-minute reaction, though. I mean, you're our Iowa guy.
I'm on the plane. I'll be on the plane.
Tonight.
I could probably record something maybe in the Atlanta airport after the game, but we'll see. Maybe another Delta lounge.
Do it from your first class seat.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
You got your whiskey. just celebrating here.
That the flight tonight, it might be long enough from Atlanta to Phoenix where they'll serve a meal.
I've never been on a flight where I got a meal, ever.
Oh, no. Steve Kemp's never going to forgive us because I screwed up on the podcast yesterday and said we're starting this show at 11. I meant
no,
Easter.
We started at 10.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve. But hey, you just scroll back. It's all there. And we'll be posting this pod soon. A lot of people tuned in late. We talked national championship game today for the first 30 minutes. All that talks in the first 30 minutes of the show.
Thanks to Aiden Wyatt for filling in. Maddie's out.
Oh, you know what? Monday, the big eclipse. The jerk of totality. Give it a shot.
There's a huge eclipse. I didn't realize this. All of the major news networks are doing wall-to-wall coverage of the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Lester Holt's going to be sitting in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway watching eclipse.
That's part of the line that it's going over. I'm flying on Monday right over the line of totality, but it's going to be after the eclipse. So I'll miss it.
I'm taking my daughter. The Bondurant Library is having a special event.
Do they have like a big outdoor space to?
I have no idea.
Or are you just going to sit inside and look out the window? You guys aren't in the line of totality, though. You're not going to see much.
Yeah, well, we'll see something. And then again next year when the next eclipse comes, we'll just go out and watch it.
Did you see that the message from the guy on Twitter that was talking? He accidentally was playing our show out loud when we started talking about the jerk of totality?
No, you started talking about that, not me.
We did.
Get out of here. Get the Phoenix safely. Enjoy the game today, everybody. Appreciate it. We'll be back on Monday morning with reaction. Miller and Williams will be there in place of two guys on Monday morning. Later.
Well, then I guess there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Win the whole fucking thing.
Iowa everywhere.